Good morning, everyone. I hope everyone's been having a fantastic week at Build and learning a whole lot. My name is Neil Black, and I'm a principal program manager in the Xbox Live organization. And today we're going to talk about Xbox Smart Glass and all of the awesome and magical experiences that you can build using Smart Glass. I'm a 20-year Microsoft veteran. I've worked in Office, I've worked in MSN, I've worked in Bing. And for the last year, I've been over on Xbox delivering what is now Xbox Smart Glass. And we're super excited about the opportunities that are here. So we're going to take a look at a few things. We'll start with some industry trends and take a look at what led us to the creation of Smart Glass, and then really dive into what Smart Glass is, how it's architected, how the system functions. And then take a look at a demo application and drill into how that application was built and how you can use that to build your own Smart Glass experiences. So when we take a look at the market today, what we see is this rise in multi-screen entertainment. You know, for a long time, we've noticed this trend where people are sitting in their living room in front of their television, they're watching TV, and they often have another device with them, be it a tablet or a smartphone. And in the past, it's been a lot of watching TV and using your device to check your email, surf the web, or maybe you're watching a movie and you're like, who is that person? Why do they look so familiar? And you go to IMDb and start trying to figure out who it is you're looking at. And what we're seeing now is a change in that trend. People are still using the devices and using them even more, but they're starting to use a lot of these companion applications that are designed to work in conjunction with the content that's being consumed on the television. So it's not just about doing something totally disconnected, but it's something relevant to what you're doing. And we're seeing this not only in the television and movie space, but also in the gaming space. And there's really some exciting opportunities here. But when we look across what's going on in the industry, and I apologize, my clicker's not working, we find that there's a whole variety of second screen experiences. There's just a ton of these out here, but it's a very fractured marketplace. Everyone right now is primarily building very specific applications for specific uses. So for example, in the gaming space, there are things like the PS Vita and the Wii U, where you buy a controller that's an entirely new device, and you can use it with your game console, but you've now gone out and bought this specific controller for that one use. Or in the social space, there's a lot going on here where applications like GetGlue and OnNow are being built to enhance television viewing and allow users to watch a TV show and then, in line with their TV show, add to their Twitter feed or their Facebook page comments about that show. So getting some rich social interaction. Networks are building applications specific to the shows that they deliver. So HBO Go has an awesome application, runs on a lot of different platforms that you can use when you're watching HBO series. You know, you watch Game of Thrones or Boardwalk Empire, and you can get a lot of rich backstory about those shows, but they primarily run in a disconnected mode. So you can use them when you're not watching the show, you can use them when you're watching the show, but your application doesn't actually know where you are within any given episode. There are a lot of event-specific applications being written, so these are sort of use them once and toss them type applications. You download an application for the Olympics or for the Super Bowl this year, and they're very much one-offs. And then a lot of things we put in this controller class that are coming out from the cable providers, where you can get an EPG and use it to sometimes to control your set-top box or just to see what's coming up in programming and make some choices. What we're really trying to do in Xbox is transform entertainment and change the way that people relate to their entertainment experiences. And we're doing this led from the living room, so starting with the biggest TV in your house and your Xbox console, and then using the power of the cloud and the Xbox Live service with over 40 million members to extend those scenarios from your television onto multiple devices, whether that be PCs, tablets, or smartphones, and then deliver those experiences in a way that are best on Microsoft devices. So let's take a look at how we took all of that information and then created this idea of Xbox Smart Glass. So about a year ago, we delivered an application for Windows Phone we called Xbox Companion. And this was our first kind of dipping our toe in the water into this companion application space. So we delivered an application, and it started with this set of core services. At the heart of it is the idea of discovering and pairing your device with a console. So we use your Microsoft account that you're signed in on a device. We find that same Microsoft account signed into a console, and then we pair those two devices together so they can start communicating. In addition to that, we provide a basic set of remote functionality. So you get a D-pad. So on your Xbox controller, you have a D-pad that lets you do up, down, left, right commands. They're the standard A, B, X, Y buttons. And we kind of emulated that inside last year in the companion application, this year in Smart Glass. And this year, we've extended that to not only have kind of that straight up D-pad kind of click up, click down, where you had to do a little bit of this up-down gesture, looking at your device and then looking up at the TV, to implement a gesture-based thing where you can actually just swipe your finger across the screen on your device to navigate the console. Layered on top of that, we have a set of media discovery and control. So just like on your Xbox console, where you can go to a Bing search page and search across the catalog, we provide that same functionality from your device. So you do a search for something like Batman, and we find all of the Batman games, movies, videos, and apps that are available for you on the console. And when you're playing a video, you get a standard set of media controls. So you can pause the content, skip to the next chapter, things of that nature. Then on top of that, we add a set of what we call built-in enhancements. So regardless of what content you're consuming, be it a video or a game, there's always additional information available to you. So when you're watching a TV show or a movie, you get things like cast and crew information. So you don't have to do that manual search in IMDb for who is that person. You actually get a cast list delivered directly to you. Or if you're playing a game, you get a list of the achievements available in the game, and it'll show which of those achievements you've already gotten, which ones you still need to attain. You can look at a friends list of your friends who have played the game. The new thing that we're bringing to the table with Smart Glass this year is this idea of an extension point for developers. So we've taken Smart Glass, and we've embedded a browser into the application, and now developers can write these Smart Glass experiences that connect to the console and then deliver rich content related to exactly what's going on the screen. So in the example that's shown here, this is based off of a fictitious show called House of Cavallari. And you can imagine as you're watching the show, you see a map that moves automatically in sync with the different locations that are going on in the television program, or giving you polls and quizzes at the right points in time with the show. Another big thing that we're doing this year with Smart Glass is moving beyond Windows Phone. And Smart Glass is available on whatever device you already own. So be it Windows Phone, Windows 8, iOS, or Android. So rather than having people have to go out and buy a specific device, as we talked about earlier, everyone already has these devices in front of them when they're at their television, be it the phone in your pocket or the slate that's on your coffee table. And now you can just take advantage of that and run Smart Glass on all of those devices. We do have some things that are unique to the Microsoft devices. One example of this are live tiles. So using the Windows notification service, we can actually push information to your Windows Phone or your Windows 8 machine to tell you what's going on your console at any given time. So here, the image in the forefront is the Games Hub on a Windows Phone. and we can see that Halo is being played on the Xbox, even though I'm not actually running the Smart Glass app at this time. And on the second image in the background is a Windows 8 slate, and again, it shows that House of Cavallari is playing on the Xbox. And it actually brings up some really interesting scenarios. I was in the office a couple weekends ago working away, trying to get Smart Glass out the door, and I looked down at my live tile, and I noticed that my daughter turned on the Xbox at home, and I could see that she had started watching stuff on Netflix. So, interesting way to spy on your kids. And then I freaked her out because I brought up Smart Glass and I paused the video in the middle of her watching it and totally confused her. Then later in the week, she was listening to some music in her room on her music player and the battery died and she started screaming at me to stop pausing her music with Smart Glass. She doesn't control her music player, but she's kind of caught on to how it all works. So if we take a look at the user interface for Smart Glass, this is showing both Windows 8 and Windows Phone again. This is the home page for Smart Glass, and we see a couple of things here. If you look at the Windows 8 slate image, there's this really big tile, and again, that's showing you what's currently playing on your Xbox. So here it's saying you're playing Halo 4, and then below that is this tile labeled Halo Waypoint. So this is a Smart Glass experience that was written for Halo 4. So whenever you're playing Halo 4, you can run this Smart Glass experience, and it delivers you a whole bunch of rich information about what's going on in the Halo universe. And then, of course, you get other information there about recently played games and other related games. Similar on the smartphone here, Game of Thrones is playing on the console, and there's a Game of Thrones Smart Glass experience. Now, these Smart Glass experiences can be defined to be what we call a default experience. So as you're playing Halo on the console, if you run Smart Glass, we'll automatically launch that Smart Glass experience to the user so they don't have to hunt around and find it, and then they get this kind of synchronized experience with what's going on their console. We talked a little bit about the input and having this kind of D-pad functionality. There's some additional things that we've added in this year for Smart Glass. One of them is the ability to bring up the Xbox guide. So if you're familiar with the Xbox controller, you have that silver, what we call xenon button in the middle of your controller, and you click on it and it pops up the guide in the middle of the screen. You can now do that from your Xbox controller. You have the full gesture-based navigation, as I mentioned, and then a really cool set of functionality around text input. So one of the most difficult things with the console is if you ever encounter a field where you have to enter some text, and an on-screen keyboard pops up, and you've got an Xbox controller in your hand, and you start doing up, 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 A, over, 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 A, down, left, left, A. It's really hard to type. So what we did with Smart Glass was hooked that information, and any time an on-screen keyboard pops on your Xbox, on your Smart Glass device, your keyboard for that device pops up, and now you can type away with your thumbs. It's way more efficient. We've also used this input mechanism to control the new Internet Explorer browser that ships on the Xbox. So the browser comes up on the Xbox, and now Smart Glass switches, and it's an input surface for IE in kind of two ways. One is you obviously have that keyboard functionality, so when you go to the address bar in IE, you can type in a URL, it sends it to the console, and now you're browsing that web page on the console. The other thing you can do with that control surface is actually pinch and zoom. And so you use regular gestures that you're used to on a device and now have those gestures automatically controlled on the console, and now your web page on your big television screen is now moving according to your gestures. Okay, so the search functionality, as I mentioned, cross-catalog search. In this example, the search for Halo, and you can see that it's found both information about Halo games, and we're looking specifically at that list of titles related to Halo, but you can also see there's 6 videos that were found and 75 pieces of music. So it's a really great way from your device to discover content on the catalog and decide what it is you want to do next. It really helps keep users engaged in the console and finding all the great things they can do. And speaking of engagement, with this idea of smart glass experiences, we're really trying to allow game developers and publishers to build these really rich, engaging experiences. Here, you know, this is all related to a piece of video content that you're watching, where there can be polls and quizzes or backstory on either the backstory of a particular actor and, you know, what their bio is and the films they've been in, or backstory on a particular character in a show. And all of this can be delivered directly to the smart glass device and synchronized with what's going on the console. Similarly, you can build experiences for games that do something along the same lines. And what we're really driving for in all of this is the concept of habitual use. What we really want people to start thinking about is, whenever I'm using my Xbox, I'm running Xbox Smart Glass, and I get contextually relevant information delivered to me. So Smart Glass will kind of reconfigure itself to deliver whatever is most relevant to what you're doing right now. So it could be watching a video where you're getting this interactive map that's showing all the locations within the video, dynamically changing as scene by scene the television show plays. It could be something like games with Halo, where you have Halo Waypoint, and you get this rich experience that allows you to see your progression through the game, how your character is evolving, how you compare against all the other players in the community. There's a bunch of rich information that gets delivered through Halo Waypoint for upcoming things that will be coming out in the game. There's going to be kind of an episodic set of experiences that come out. On the music front, as you're listening to music on your Xbox, there's a great experience that gets delivered in Smart Glass where you can see information about not only the artists that you're listening to, but you can get a list of their top songs, you can go to your playlist and start playing songs or skipping songs, and you can get a list of related artists so you can find more music that you want to consume. And then again, as we've been talking about, this idea of just a general input surface so you can navigate the console regardless of whether there's a specific Smart Glass experience for the app or game that you're using, you always have that ability to use Smart Glass as a remote control. Now, we launched Smart Glass last Friday, and it's been phenomenal. We're really excited about it. We've been working really hard on it. And this is a look at some of the launch portfolio. These are titles, some which are out now and some which will be coming out through the end of the year. And I just wanted to highlight a few of these. So last Friday, we released a Smart Glass experience for Dance Central 3. So one of the great scenarios with Dance Central 3, you have people over to your house, and they have this DJ party time mode. And the idea is you're going to have people coming up in front of the TV, you know, using Kinect and doing their dances. But one of the downsides to that is there's kind of this break in between each player. Someone comes up to the TV, and the first thing they do is they start scrolling through a list of songs, and they have to find the song that they want, and everyone else is sitting around getting bored. And then they finally pick their song, they do their dance, and 3 minutes later, it's someone else's turn to get up there and pick their song. So with Smart Glass, Harmonix has implemented a fantastic DJ party mode Smart Glass experience where, as one player is up in front of the TV dancing, other players with their Smart Glass device can be navigating that catalog of songs and queuing up the songs for them. Smart Glass allows you to have up to 4 Smart Glass devices connected at one time. The console also allows you to have 4 users signed in at one time. So you can use that to have multiple users queuing up songs, and you keep that gameplay flowing much better. There's Forza Horizon. So Forza released a new game last week. It's an awesome open-world driving game. It takes place in a fictitious version of Colorado. And so in the game, you can actually just pick random points where you want to drive to and challenge other racers. You can use Smart Glass to bring up a map of all of the roads that are in the game, and then just click on any point and say, set me a route to this. And when you do that on your television screen in the Forza game, it lays down a GPS trail, just like you would see on the GPS in your car, and then you know how to drive to that particular location. So you can use it to drive to the next race event that you need to go to, or you can use it in a really unique way where it's almost like a rally car race. So I can be actually driving in the game and have a friend sitting next to me using smart glass. And I can pull up behind another player in the game and click the X button and challenge them to a race. And now I can use my friend as my navigator. And not only do we know the GPS trail that the game has decided I should drive, but on that map there are shortcuts. And my friend, looking at the map in smart glass, can say, hey, we're coming up on this shortcut. Take the second right, and you're going to be able to kick this guy's butt. So it's really a fun way to extend the gameplay experience in a new way. And then the third one that I'll highlight is a game called Home Run Stars. So this is an Xbox Live arcade game. It's a baseball game, as the name probably implies. Two-player game. The first player stands up in front of the television using Kinect, and they're the batter. The second player holds the smart glass in their device, the smart glass device in their hand, and they're the pitcher. And so they get to choose, do I want to throw a fastball, a curveball, or a slider? And they get these hit targets. And the faster you can click on the targets and the more accurately you click on the targets determines how fast the pitch is and how accurate it is. And it allows for this absolutely magical experience. I've been playing this with my 8-year-old daughter a ton. She absolutely loves the game. It's a lot of fun. All right, so you're saying, hey, this is a developer conference. Enough with the marketing. So let's drill in a little bit on how smart glass actually works. So we start with the device. So this is the physical device, Windows Phone, Windows 8 Slate, iPhone, iPad, or an Android phone. Running on that, we have the Xbox Smart Glass application. So the user has to download one application for their device to get all these experiences lit up. They install that device. Running underneath that device is this transport library. The transport library is basically responsible for all of the communication between the device and the console. Over on the console, inside what's called the XAM, which is effectively the operating system for the Xbox, we have a similar library running that handles the console side of that communication. And all of that communication and initial pairing between device and console happens through our cloud-based service. So you can connect to the cloud-based service over Wi-Fi or over a cellular connection, 3G, 4G, and use that to, the service will use that, as I mentioned, to take your Microsoft account and pair that up with a similar account found running on an Xbox somewhere. Once that pairing has been established, a session is started. A session is basically a giant message queue for the set of messages that will flow back and forth between the device and the Xbox. The service will send a message back to the device that says, hey, I found an Xbox, here's your session, and oh, by the way, here's the local IP address for this Xbox. So if the device and the Xbox are on the same local subnet, they can start talking directly to each other without going through the cloud, so you get better latency. Now on the Xbox, we add in the actual title, whether this be a game or a media title. All of the games are written with something called the XDK, the Xbox Developer Kit. Inside the XDK, there is a smart glass library that handles both getting events when users connect and disconnect, as well as an ability to send what we call title messages, and we'll talk about that in a bit. And then layered on top of the XDK is the application development kit, which is what the media applications in Xbox are built upon. And it also exposes that same set of functionality. Now back on the device side, we have this hosted smart glass control. This is really just the embedded browser running inside the smart glass app. And it's specific to the device that you're running on. So on a Windows phone or a Windows 8, it's running the embedded version of Internet Explorer. On iOS or Android, it's running WebKit. Inside that hosted control, you have your hosted experience. So these smart glass experiences that you build are really just, the simplest way to think about them is their websites. They run inside that hosted control. They're able to use this title messaging channel to send messages. Title messages allow for a two-way communication pipe between the device and the console. You can send arbitrary messages. They're formatted as JSON, and they can be up to 1K in length. But beyond that, you can do whatever is necessary for your particular title. You send those messages back and forth. And then the Smart Glass experience itself, as I mentioned, is just a website. So it comes directly from your web server. And you're able to additionally call whatever other web services you may need in order to build your functionality. So these Smart Glass experiences, at the end of the day, are just HTML5 and JavaScript running in this embedded browser. And this really brings two big advantages to the table. The first is discoverability. You know, back at the beginning, we talked about how there's all of these companion applications, but it's kind of a very fractured marketplace. Users have to know that there's an application for what they're doing. They have to go find it in a marketplace. They have to install it onto their device. With Smart Glass, you install one application, and all of these experiences are delivered directly to you. So the user doesn't have to hunt around for them. They just come directly to the user as they're running Smart Glass in conjunction with their Xbox. The other big advantage is you can use the web development model. So it's HTML5. You can you obviously need to tweak your layout for the right form factor. So what you're going to show on a Windows 8 slate is going to be different than what you show on a Windows phone due to the size of the device. But it's much simpler than having to write a native application for each of those different devices that you want to target. And in order to enable all of this, we have what we call the Xbox Smart Glass SDK. The SDK is available on the Xbox Game Developer Network, which is where you get both the tools for building the Xbox titles, the console side of things, as well as the Smart Glass SDK that has all of the device side components. So inside that SDK, as I mentioned, is the Smart Glass library. It lets you send and receive messages. It has a JSON parser, so you can get these messages and handle them correctly. And then on the device side, we have a set of capabilities that you use to write your Smart Glass experiences themselves. It's exposed through a JavaScript library. And there's sort of two sets of APIs that we think about with the Smart Glass SDK. One are these application level APIs. So it allows you to get events as different devices sign in and sign out of the console, which is really important, particularly in multiplayer scenarios. You'll get information about what title is playing on the console, so you can message to the user if they're running the Smart Glass experience for title A, and all of a sudden on the console they switch to title B. You can say, hey, my title's not running anymore. Here's what you need to do. And then we expose this service proxy function. And as I mentioned back on the architecture slide, we allow you to call other web services. Now, one problem in the web world, of course, is cross-domain scripting issues. So what we do, since you're serving up your content from your particular web server in your domain, is proxy other calls through our service proxy. You give us the REST endpoint you want to call. We proxy that call through our Smart Glass platform and return the results back to you. And then the second piece that the SDK provides, and this is super powerful, is this idea of device capabilities. So today, inside the browser, generally device capabilities like your accelerometer and your gyroscope or haptic feedback to vibrate a device, those things aren't available inside the browser. So what we've done with the Smart Glass SDK is built a platform-independent way for you to call one JavaScript API, and depending on the device that you're running on, we will hook that underlying sensor, like an accelerometer, grab that data, and then expose that data up through our JavaScript interface, so then you can act on it appropriately. And you actually have a choice of whether you want to act on that information locally on your Smart Glass device, or whether it makes more sense to send that information directly to the console. So I talked about how we did the working with IE, where on your device you do a pinch and zoom gesture. What we used are these touch capabilities in the Smart Glass API to basically send raw touch events to the console. So the console ends up getting this message that says, hey, there were these touch events. I have 2 points, and boy, it looks like those 2 points are converging together. I'm going to interpret that as a pinch gesture. So all the interpretation of what pinch and zoom means actually happens on the console side rather than the device side. Okay, so with that, I want to switch to a demo. And what we're going to take a look at is a poker application. So this is a great example of what we call a secret screen scenario. So now you're going to have to excuse me because I'm going to both hide myself behind this demo thing, and unfortunately I'm a little short to be seen over the top. We also only have one set of screens, and I really need 3 separate things showing at one time. So bear with me for a second. What we're looking at now is the Xbox, and we have this poker game running on the Xbox. I'm also going to flip between that and a set of 2 devices, 2 phones here, that are running the Smart Glass Studio application, which is our development environment for Smart Glass. So in Smart Glass Studio, you can basically mimic the capabilities of the Smart Glass application. You can kind of think about it as the embedded browser from Smart Glass without all the Chrome around it. So we have this poker application, and one of the things with poker, when you play on the Xbox, is you sort of have 2 modes you can play in. You can play against computer players, or you can play against other people, but those people have to be on Xbox Live. They can't be in the same room because, you know, in this example, we'll play some Texas Hold'em, and if we start showing everybody's cards up on the screen, poker becomes a pretty boring game. So what we're going to do here is we have the poker game. Now, over on let me see if I switch this correctly. Over on the device side, I have these 2 devices. And so this is Smart Glass Studio. There are 2 things we do in here. First, we provide a set of credentials to log in. So this is the Microsoft account information. And I have 2 separate users logged in to the Xbox. So I can connect these devices, and then I can launch what we call the canvas or the Smart Glass experience. So I'm going to flip back to the Xbox for a second. And when I connect the first device, what's going to happen is it logs in, we get a toast, it says, okay, I've got a user logged in, and then you'll see over on the left-hand side, it says player one is here. And then I'm going to do the same thing for my second device. We should see another toast pop, another player's come on. Okay, so now we have 2 players, but neither of them have actually joined the game. So I'm going to bring up the canvas in both places. In both places. Hello. This room has awesome networking mojo, and I don't mean that in a good way. We're going to try this again. Just flip back here. We should be good. Launch the canvas. Okay. We have the canvas up here. Now, I'm going to click the join button on both of these. And if we go back to the Xbox, what we see is player one and player two, which used to be red, are now white. So we've sent a signal, a title message, from the device saying, hey, I want to join the game. And when the console gets that information, it says, oh, I have a player that's joined, and it turns that white. That's just kind of the indication that, all right, this player is in the game. Now I'm going to go back to my devices here for a second, and I'll start the game, and we can see what's going on here. So now what we've done using this scenario we call secret screen is you can imagine both of these players holding the device in their hand, and they're each seeing their own cards. And back on the Xbox, what we have is, you know, the shared cards. So as we start playing this game, you get to see your private cards in your hand sitting, you know, in the same room with another player, and we've got the shared cards up on the screen. So it gets really tricky flipping back and forth, so I think for right now I'm going to keep the screen on the Xbox and I'll kind of talk to what I'm doing on the devices. So I've clicked the start button on the device. The game is in play. It says up at the top of the screen, waiting on player two's bet. So I go to the player two device, and you know I can place a bet here. So I'm going to just bet 5 chips. And now it switched, and it's players one bet. It shows there's 5 chips in the pot. So this is all being done through that title messaging. I said, place a bet 5 chips. They go into the pot. It's switched around. It's now player one's bet. So whenever it's somebody's bet, they show up in yellow. And I have on my smart glass device for player one, I have 2 options, or 3 options, really. I can bet, I can call, I can fold. Right? Typical poker. I'm not going to actually worry about who really has the best thing. There's some interesting stuff going on device side where we will show, once we get in 1 second here, we'll do the flop. And okay, so we should be seeing the shared cards on the screen. But what we have is in my hand, I can see for this first player, I've got a 3 and a 2, and then the shared cards from the flop, which are the 7, 5, and 8. And it's showing me that right now my best hand is high card. So I'm going to just go through and, you know, I can place a bet, and we keep seeing the new cards as we go through the rest of the game, and the shared cards are coming out. And I'm going to just keep checking here to get through the game a little more quickly. And then we'll see that eventually we end up with a winner. Okay, so player two wins. There were 10 chips in the pot, and the money gets divvied out. So pretty straightforward. Now let's take a look at how the code was written to enable this. Okay, so we start on the console side with basically having to initialize smart glass. So we have this XBC initialize function that we call right when the game boots up, and we pass in a callback function. So here we've called it XBC receive callback. So any of the events that get fired from the smart glass device will get captured in this callback function. And then inside my game loop, which just loops forever as the title is running, I call XBC do work. And this basically says, hey, do I have any smart glass messages that need to be processed? And if so, go handle them appropriately. So we saw when I first brought up the smart glass experience, the first thing I did was click a button that said join. So when I click join, the smart glass device fires a message to the console that says, hey, a new client has connected. So inside this XBC receive callback function, we grab the parameters that are passed in. You know, it's just a big switch statement. We say, if the client connected event gets thrown, then add a player to the game. And it pops up that message that says, player one connected. So we talked about that XBC do loop processing messages as they come across. As we're in the gameplay and we do things like place a bet or join the game or check, those things all come in through this message loop. So here's an example of handling some of those buttons that you saw down the left-hand side, things like join the game, start the game, fold. So we parse those messages. The first time through, we're basically sending a JSON object. So there's 2 pieces. There's a field and a value. So we parse the field. And if it comes in and says, oh, this is a field name type, then we're going to parse the next token, put it through another switch statement. And if that token type says it's an action, then we look for what the value is for that action. And if it says it's a fold, we call the player fold function. You know, if it says it's the player joining, we do the join function. So it's pretty straightforward. You get some message, you process the message, you do the appropriate thing inside your title. Now we'll flip and take a look at a little bit of what's going on the device side. So on the device, one of the first things we want to do is use this xbc.on method. And it's basically similar to the callbacks that are going on the console side. This xbc.on function allows you to hook a bunch of events that get fired. And the first thing we're going to look for is this loaded event that basically says, hey, this new smart glass experience has been loaded. I'm ready to do stuff. What should I do? And we pass in a function here that says, OK, I'm going to initialize a bunch of things. And depending on messages that I get or state that's happening, here's what you should execute. So here we say, if you click the join button, send a message. So this is a title message getting sent to the console, and send that message with a parameter call, or a field name called action, and then a value of poker.action.join. So it's really just sending a string called join. And then, as we saw previously, on the console side, it will process that message and says, oh, when you click the join button, I'm going to call the add player function. And so similarly here, there's another one when you click the start button or do a fold. Now, we looked at this app, and it had some pretty basic functionality, right? We were using Smart Glass, but all we were doing was title messaging. And we could build a pretty cool experience to have this secret screen going on with poker. But as you know, in the real world with poker, one of the things you do when you want to check is you do a table knock, right? Knock, wrap your knuckles on the table, and that says, I want to check. So what if we want to implement that into our application using Smart Glass? So we can do this pretty simply using the accelerometer functionality. So what I've done is built another version of the application where we actually hook the accelerometer. So we call xbc.accelerometer and tell it to start up when the Smart Glass experience loads. And then here in the xbc.on method, we're hooking those accelerometer events. So whenever my device gets accelerometer data, this event gets thrown. It says, hey, I have some accelerometer data. Here's the raw data coming in. What do you want to do? And in this particular case, what we're doing is running some math to build this vector. And we've created this constant value that says, if the vector exceeds this particular limit, we're going to consider that to be a table knock. So now, if you'll bear with me for a second, I'm going to set things up again. And we're going to do this kind of in the great cooking show style. So you know, if you ever watch cooking shows, the chef puts a whole bunch of stuff together, says, put it in the oven at 425 for 3 hours, and you have something beautiful, but we don't have 3 hours to wait. So we're going to take a look at a pre-baked version of this. So I'm going to first restart my game on the Xbox. So if we go back here, we're running a new version of the game. I'm going to come back to my devices. I'm going to start them up. But on one of the devices, what I'm going to actually do is point to a new URL for my Smart Glass activity. So now we should get the toast pop for this user, and we should get the toast pop for the second user. Now we have two players, and I'm clicking the join button, so we should see the players go white. OK, so now we're kind of back where we were before. We're playing the game, and we click start. OK, so it's player two's bet. Now, this is my device for player two. And again, I apologize with the screen setup. You're going to have to trust me here. But what we're going to keep an eye on is it's player two's bet, so that's why player two is in gold. And the version of the Smart Glass experience that I'm using right now is the version that's using the accelerometer. So when I do the gesture for a knock, it should switch players. So I say, I'm going to check. There we go. OK. So now it just switched players, and I kind of have a little more real-world scenario of how I might play a poker game. So you could imagine this all kinds of different uses of hooking, accelerometer, and gyroscope. We talked about that Home Run Stars game. You could imagine building a version of that game that instead of tapping on the screen to throw pitches, you use the accelerometer and, throw a curveball. And we kind of thought about that and then got into the whole, now I'm going to toss my phone into my television. You have to think about the right use of it, but there's definitely some pretty cool stuff that you can do there. All right, so I hope people had a chance to see some of the other Xbox sessions that happened earlier in the week. I just wanted to call two of them out. One is on building cross-device Xbox games, and the other was Xbox Live on Windows 8. If you haven't gotten a chance to see those, you should check them out on Channel 9. Some great information there. We've got just under 15 minutes left, so I have plenty of time for Q&A. I'd love to take any questions. There are microphones up in the front of the room. And I would also like to ask you to make sure you fill out your evals before you head out. Question.
Hi. So I'm looking for an excuse to get an Xbox into the enterprise.
Excellent.
So what I gather is that you have to hook the console host, if you like, first, and then build the whole experience around tablet or a phone. When you build that host, does it have to be on Xbox Live, or can it go and pitch it, get that application from a server inside the enterprise?
Yeah, good question. So, the question is around whether you can have a title on the Xbox that gets served up from an enterprise environment versus being delivered over Xbox Live. Right now, the functionality for delivering content over a server running out of the enterprise is not supported.
Thank you.
Do you have a link for the SDK handy? Because every time I search for it, I find that it requires either a partner relationship or a Microsoft employee access to it.
Okay, I was going to say, you're a genius, because, yes, I have a link to the SDK. So the SDK, as I mentioned, is on the Xbox Game Developer Network, which does require access. So the reason for that is, in order to create a smart glass experience, you need to have a corresponding Xbox title. So you kind of can't create the smart glass experience without having that pairing with the console and the title. And in order to get access to the XDK, the Xbox Development Kit, you need those permissions for GDMP. But if you have something specific in mind, we can talk afterwards and we can figure out how to get you hooked up.
Hi. Do you have any plans to control Windows Media Center with Glass?
Great question. Do we have any plans to control Windows Media Center with Smart Glass? And the short answer is not in the immediate future, but we definitely look at Smart Glass as something that we can use to control things beyond the Xbox.
Hi. Do you have any plans to go beyond the companion app, to go more like a media direction, kind of, I want to show my pictures from my tablet on my full screen, more like in the AirPlay DNLA direction, but...
Yeah, so Windows 8 actually has that functionality today. So you can be browsing pictures and using what's called Play To. You can send those pictures directly to your console. It doesn't actually go through the Smart Glass app, but that functionality is there. Yeah.
Didn't talk much about video content, obviously, because broadcasters are probably your main target audience for that. But what about the concept of, say, creating your own video content, something that you'd put up on YouTube and directing it through here? Is there something in the plans to kind of raise or lower the bar a little bit so you don't have to be a Xbox game publisher or a broadcaster to create something for Smart Glass?
Well, what we have is this program called the ADK, the Application Development Kit, which is what all the media applications are built on. There's not really a way right now for individuals to just publish their own content. It needs to be delivered through some application. you know, there is a YouTube app, so if you have a channel on YouTube, that can easily be surfaced through the YouTube app that's on the console. But there's not sort of an individual, I'm going to create an app, get it published, and serve up my own. I'm sorry?
There is Media Player, though, isn't there?
There is Media Player. I'd have to think about that a little more. Any other questions? I think we have one more here. Excellent.
Do you have any usage numbers for smart glass?
We don't have usage numbers. Like I said, we just launched last Friday. So it's kind of a whole new world. Like I said, we had this companion app last year. It was only out on Windows Phone and had a much smaller feature set. So we're still waiting to see on the numbers. It's still early on. Here's another question.
Do you have any plans to bring this to the XNA game studio environment or for independent developers?
Right now, Smart Glass does not work with XNA titles, with the indie titles. Not something that's directly on our roadmap. All right, well, if there's no further questions, I appreciate everyone's time. And if anyone has anything else they want to ask me, I'll be here afterwards, and you feel free to come up.